Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show. All we do is talk about eating, drinking. We talk about cooking. We talk about everything that makes your life a little bit more delicious. Would you like to shade some of that with us or share that with us, rather? We'd love to hear from you, so give us a buzz, 260-6368, 260-6368. Coming up a little while in the program, he's been with us for the better part of an hour already, but he's going to stay another hour, and we're going to talk a few things over, as we have been with Alan Tobe, about restaurants and about cooking and about wine and all of that. And that was his voice, I think it was, anyway. Is that you,
I'm quite comfortable. Alan, yep, I'm made myself at home here.
You are successful in that attempt.
Let me just say, Tom, this has really been a pleasure. You're one of my heroes. I have to say.
Oh, stop it! No, come on. How can you say something like that?
Well, maybe hero is not the right term, but let me just say that you're well-versed. You're an expert in New Orleans, not just New Orleans food, but New Orleans culture and everything fine and everything that's good that separates New Orleans from everywhere else. You know, people... I still feel like I've been plucked out of New Orleans. I'm up here in the cold and dreary Northwest, but deep down, I'm in New Orleans. You know, it's my stomach and my heart still connected, very much so, to the great city of New Orleans. I think that there's no better ambassador than Tom Fitzmaurice.
Now you're really going
for New Orleans. Well,
yeah, stop.
No, so your show is testimony to that. That nobody, there is no other show like the Food Show with Tom Fitzmaurice. And even up here in Seattle, there is a program where there's a couple of chefs that they have the gift of gab and they talk a bit about food. But nobody called. It's not the same situation.
Oh, I don't know about that. We have X number of people who come in and talk to us every day.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Your show is the only one. These two guys go on and on, but they don't invite people to call like you do. So, and share their experiences with food and
so. Can I take a brief break off? Because we have somebody else who just moved in. Don't go away though, because you're with Paul. Welcome to the Food Show.
Hey, good afternoon, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Come on in.
All right. Is Alan still on the phone?
I think he is.
As a matter of fact, I am.
Yeah.
Alan,
okay,
are you
great.
Still there? Say something.
Yeah, you're there. Okay, so Mid-City Seafood. You were asking about Mid-City Seafood, and my ex used to work there. The owners were Elsie, she thinks, and Dan Antonio, but he went by the name of Frank. I don't know if that rings any bells for anybody. But
no, that got past me one way or another.
Hey, Paul?
Yeah.
Paul?
that this is mid-city. You're saying mid-city seafood when it was on Canal?
Yes, exactly. During the 90s.
Was it always in the same spot on Canal Street?
I don't remember what side street it was on, but it was right on that corner and had that corner entrance on an angle, you know, like Mandina's does.
Okay. And what type of menu did they have? Obviously, seafood.
I remember seafood and typical New Orleans fare. Nothing unusual, just a good job of everything.
They open for lunch as well as dinner?
Gosh, I don't know.
But like it was a long time ago, you know.
Yeah.
And what was the name of it? Do you remember?
The restaurant was Mid-City Seafood, and owners were Elsie and Dan Antonio, but he went by the name of Frank.
Frank. Okay.
And Elsie, I'll be darned. And you say, are you related to them?
No. My ex used to work there. Her name was Harriet, but she went by the name of Sam. So, like I said, that was quite a while ago. In fact, I just sent her a message to get those names because I couldn't remember.
Well, it seems like you've put it together since then, and I'm glad you did.
About how long were they open? You know, I'm just curious.
No, I don't really remember. I know she only worked there for a couple years, and it was late 80s because we took off for Baltimore at the end of the 80s. So it was late 80s and probably ran into the 90s from what I remember.
I see. Well, are you, Paul, living in New Orleans now still?
No, unfortunately. I live in Michigan. I'm an expat.
Michigan?
Yeah, I tried to get back there a couple of times. Yeah, Tom, you and I talked about the Badger a few times.
Yeah, and how about crossing the whole Michigan, Lake Michigan, with your car in it?
Yeah. And it used to carry railroad cars. I figured that was your attraction to it.
Back a long, long time, I had a girl who thought it would be a good idea to cross Lake Michigan in a car. And with the car now.
Yeah.
Paul, let me ask you, because I'm up here in Seattle, and I could say if somebody was to say, what dish do you miss the most? I'd have to say Joe Impastato's soft shell crabs. With that crawfish cream sauce topping, but what do you miss most as far as New Orleans food goes?
Before food, I have to say the people. But so much has changed. I was out there the year before Katrina hit and came up to take care of my mom and wound up staying up here the whole time ever since. And, Alonzo's. That was one of my favorite places to go as a kid.
Alonzo's on Jefferson Central. Highway?
Yeah, on Central, no. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's my old neighborhood.
Yeah, my dad used to let, you know, I'm a big eater. I was a big boy. And my dad would let me get a seafood platter there almost every Friday night. So, that was one of my fond memories.
You only have five of them? Boy, I wish I only had five of them.
Paul, if you got a second, let me just ask you. Are there restaurants where you are now that claim to have New Orleans style food or attempt to do, a New Orleans menu? Just curious.
They tend to pop up, but they don't last too long. Around here, you know, high end affair, you know, would never cross into that. Category food, but a lot of small places and independents have tried to do it. There are a couple that I've heard about that I haven't visited, but the ones I have generally don't hit the mark. And
see if you can avoid hitting the mark.
They probably had a hard time getting people to want to pay the price for what it would take to get the quality up here. Availability of
Let's certainly get on that.
Yeah.
do you have oysters? This might be a dumb question, but do they have oysters in the area?
No, but I have a friend that will have some shipped in every now and again. He usually gets them from the East Coast. That's what he likes. But anyway, I do enjoy the opportunity of shucking them for him. So kind of
that's the hardest and worst job in the world is shucking oysters.
I love it. I love it. You know,
you can have all of mine, and next time I have a party with a lot of oysters, I'm going to call you and give you a free beer.
Well,
just make sure that you like it.
It's the Food Show.
I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Thank you for sharing all this, but don't go away because we're going to poke in to your brain a little bit more yet. So watch out. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and it's fun to be here with you every day. You know, I keep looking at this. You know, there are things going on right now. And one of the reasons that I am here today is that I have a commercial that I do on the radio, only really just like one a day, I think. And here it is. It's just sitting right on top of me. The Dornack family cares about you, says here. They continuously restock their shelves. Here's Dornack's deals from the meat department, USDA, USDA Black Angus Choice. Oh, good stuff. Anyway, it was there. I just said, well, I may as well throw this out at people. It's all perfectly true.
Tom, I was just going to say something about Dornack. You know, right after the hurricane, the staff of Dornack's grocery store would be out in the parking lot making sandwiches, po' boys, you name it, I think even gumbo. But they were feeding the people. they really are part of the community of Old Metairie. And I'm telling you, that place is close to my heart. I love Dornack.
Yeah, a lot of people. It's one of those places where, okay, it's a big deal. It's a supermarket, except then when you walk around in it, you realize the quality of everything they have there is just something you don't see ordinarily.
It is. And you remember, of course you do, Frank Davis.
Frank Davis, sure. He was on TV a lot. Is that who you're thinking about?
Yes, I used to run into him there. He would do little cooking show bits, I think.
He did cooking shows, and he used to do a TV show over on Channel 4. That guy, I got to know him pretty well before his career took off, because we had basically the same schedule in our shifts. So he and I would just shoot the breeze all the time, and he knew something about fishing and everything else. He really was on top of it.
He was. When I think of Dornack's, I think of Frank Davis because I think it was like every Thursday or something. He did this. He would do a little cooking demonstration of some dish or something. Do a recipe or make something. But
basically, what happened? Yeah, you're right about everything you just said. But the funny thing is that when he got out of that and started doing all the TV stuff, and then he passed away, I'm sure you know. I was the guy who took his place on a whole lot of things. Not fishing. I don't know anything about fishing or about sports at all. So anyway, it was very flattering to follow in his footsteps. Great guy, Frank Davis.
I think Freak might say the same thing about you. He's still around.
There's no doubt about it.
He followed your footsteps in many ways as well. And now that we've brought up Frank Davis, I got to mention that Buddy Stahl. I don't know if he's still around, but
Buddy Stahl, he's not with us anymore. I'm sorry to say that.
Oh yes, okay.
He and I were in the same retreat group at Manresa, and that guy, if you started him talking on any subject, anything at all, he could keep it going for 3 weeks. He was too much. He was really a kick. He knew so much about so many things. He was an amazing guy. But he was a lot of fun, and he a nice, nice guy. It's the Food Show on Tom Fitzmaurice. Yep, he certainly was.
I had the pleasure of waiting on him at the Court of Two Sisters, and even though it was so many years ago, I remember it was like yesterday, but you're right, he could just go on and on about anything under the subject of New Orleans. And he wrote books, too. I call them history books because it's learning history in a fun way by reading his books. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, terrific. And he's got a great book. It's right over here called Lost Restaurants of New Orleans. And I just cheated. It just occurred to me. Wait a minute. I wrote this book myself. Let me put it back.
That's your book, Tom.
We will come back with more of the Food Show in just a moment after First Please This. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's just on. Huh? We're just standing on the outside of Lake Pontchartrain, I guess. And anyway, we are talking about the food of New Orleans. Nothing new for us. That's what we talk about and have been for a long, long time. And coming to you live today from over here, looking at things happening around here. And I'd really like to know where you have been dining lately or where you're thinking of going out. We always bring that up. Because people get that idea in their brains where they're going to go, but they don't quite get it. Like, earlier in the program today, we had Alan with us, and Alan has been with us for just about the whole show today, which has been a lot of fun to have him and just exchange different things. Oh, and he's still there, apparently. Hi, Alan. Thank you for waiting around so long. That's really
Thanks for keeping me here and not kicking me out. This is great.
Aha!
So long.
We got another one. Yeah.
You know, I want to encourage anybody to call. I don't want to monopolize my conversation here with Tom.
I don't think you need to worry about it. It's a everything's happening right now.
I encourage folks to call in and also take advantage of your knowledge, Mr. Tom Fitzmaurice.
Hey, you know, as long as you're here, I wanted to. Someone asked me a question about 45 minutes ago, and we didn't quite answer it. Anyway, someone. I mentioned that off Lake Pontchartrain, just right at the lake, and where it flows around, and we were talking about that, and I couldn't. Someone wanted to know about the Bozos. That's how this got started, but it turns out. Bozos, he is not around anymore. His wife is also gone. One of them, 85. The other one was 90-something. The nicest people, just really great people. But then I started pointing out to this these items that were coming out of there. Rip is the name of the restaurant I was trying to remember. Just simple as that, R-I-P. And it's right there in the front of the entire area of Lake Pontchartrain right there, so you can open it up, and there it is. I had a terrific dinner there last night, much more than I thought we would, because most of the time we get something like this out of a restaurant, it isn't quite what it could be. Well, this one has managed to get around that with not having that problem. So anyway, what that will tell you is that we are very interested in talking about restaurants that have come and gone, about dishes that you like to try. Someone asked me one earlier in the program today, and it involved, let's see, what did I do? Why did I move it somewhere else? Well, we got it in a second. 260.
Tom?
Yes, hello, come on in.
It's me, Alan, still. I was going to ask you this place that you and Marianne dined at last night. They have oysters on the menu?
They do have oysters on the menu. This is we're talking about. Which one are we talking about?
What you said, rib.
Rib? Oh no, no, that's the what? No. The what I was talking about was a restaurant whose name is Rip, and it's right on right on the lakefront. And we were trying to figure it out earlier. Nobody could remember the name of the place, but we finally did, and there it is. And there it is.
But the, you know, when the place you went, the place you dined last night, they do have oysters. And I was just kind of curious.
But they had one funny one, though, and I've tried it once before, and I'm not going to get it again. Some people apparently like it, but I'm not one of them. What they do is they basically get a big piece of French bread, and then they top it with a lot of the sauce from Oysters Rockefeller and some cheese and a few other things. This goes across the top, and they take the whole thing, throw it in the oven, let it get in there and start crunching a little bit, and then you can take it out. And it's not bad. It's not good either. When you take a sacred dish, which I think Oysters Rockefeller is, and I think Oysters Bienville is actually even better. But if you're doing something like that and you're smashing it with a whole bunch of cheese and that kind of thing and serving it, let's just say it's good, but it isn't something that would get my palate going particularly. So I almost ordered that, and I looked at it, and I said, oh, yeah, I remember they caught me with this once before. So not this time. So we moved on.
Gosh, I don't blame you. It sounds like, you know, you really – Oysters Rockefeller, Oysters Bienville, if you're going to, you don't fool with that. You leave it as it is.
Well, it depends. If you have some ability, and also if you have seeing what you can get away with, we can talk about that. Anyway, sorry to interrupt now, you, as I did.
Oh, no, no. Oysters Rockefeller. I had a discussion with somebody that said that it really originated in New York. It's not in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's bunk. No, that's absolutely bunk, because it's named for not so much the ribbon of not the
the Rockefeller man.
John Rockefeller. Who was it? Anyway, it wasn't named for him. It was something that Antoine himself said. I want to change the name of this because I like this guy, and he makes a lot of money. That's why we're putting Green Oysters Rockefeller there. That's what we're. That was the story behind Oysters Rockefeller.
I see. Well, it is often duplicated, not only in New Orleans at various restaurants, but. It is something that you will find here and there on menus up in the Northeast. And even here in Seattle, there's a restaurant, Elliot's Oyster House, and they also had Oysters Rockefeller on the menu. Because if you're true to the, as you say, you don't mess around with that recipe. It is what it is. You don't need to put it on French bread or leave it in the shell. But it was on the menu shortly, and I told them it's good. You need to work on it a bit. It's no longer on the menu, probably not because of anything I said. But speaking of oysters, it was mentioned, and I don't know if it was you, Tom, or Marianne, that said that char-grilled oysters, which is definitely an invention of Drago's, or if it's not, you certainly can't get any better than Drago's.
No, you can't. It's the best. He's right about that. That's a classic.
And the fact is that it's not a copyright. Any restaurant can do this dish, apparently. At least I try to. It's not real hard. I mean, I can even do it myself. But I find that interesting that it's exploded. It's extended to so many restaurants in New Orleans. When I was in New Orleans last spring, I went to the Bourbon House, and they had a very good trout grilled oyster on their menu. And as many of it, it seems to be done right in so many restaurants. I think that does Pascal's Manali also do trout grilled oysters?
They do indeed, but they have had a change in ownership. But that has not had any effect on it that I can tell, and I've been there several times since then, and it's been good. So you don't have to worry about them. Well, you know, you brought up several interesting questions here, if I may address them, or I can just drug away.
No,
anyway,
please.
Drago's, first of all, you can't copyright a recipe. You just can't do it. You can redo the label. You can put a lot of copy of it on there, and or a song that attaches to it. You can do all of those things, but you cannot nail down a recipe. And so that's why Drago's hasn't had to worry about that too much. They just went in and they started doing. If you want to get their recipe, just ask them. They'll give it to you. That's it. And no problem. Bang. You got it. You have those two things. And then you have other oyster dishes of various kinds. Some of them are really tight with how much they're going to let other people do it, and some of them not so much. And that's basically the story. If that has any worth to you, I hereby bestow it upon you.
Well, Tom, you know, I find it interesting that they're so liberal about the fact that it's on so many menus now.
Yeah.
And they don't have a problem with that. They're like, maybe it's because they do it so well.
Oh,
they know
that's it.
You can't. It's not going to be better than what they do. So they're not mad. They're like, okay,
yeah,
go ahead. Go ahead.
They've got it nailed down. I mean, that's just the bottom line on that. And it really has become a dish that everywhere you go, there it is. Everybody's doing it, and nobody seems to be doing even bad versions of it. We get them almost any time Marianne and I go out to eat. If they have oysters done any way at all that look like they're good, we get them, especially those grilled oysters with the Parmesan cheese and the garlic and the butter, which is what that is.
I agree. And, yeah.
And
Tom, I was going to ask you, do you make char-grilled oysters at the ranch at where you live? Break out the old egg?
I have a few things. But my favorite use of it is when we get to Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving for a whole bunch of reasons, and all of them good. But they have there's one over there that I really don't like, and that is dressing for your Thanksgiving dinner. You talk to anybody who's doing it, their dressing, their oyster dressing or whatever it is that they're calling it, and there it is. And I can't stand that. It's not a dish I like at all. And the reason I don't is that it takes all the real flavor out of it, and the rest of it kind of drifts off to the side. After we come back from the break here, I will tell you why it is that I don't like that, but even more so where you can get it and enjoy it. So, but first we have to take a break, and we'll do that and then be back with more of the Food Show here on 105.3 FM HD2. Hello. Hey, we're still here. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. What we do is talk about food. I mean, it's as simple as that. You don't have to add anything to it. And it's great to be here with you talking about food, restaurants, and da 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 da. And I can sometimes move into music, but I'm not going to do that with you because you don't like it. As I've been told.
I never said what? I didn't like it.
No? Okay. That sounds good to me. Well, let's see. We are in the throes of discussions of all sorts of things to Alan. This is still Alan?
Yeah. I'm still here.
Alan Taub. Yes. And yep. he is hanging out with us, and and we have been talking about all the places where he has died No, excuse me, where he dined. I didn't mean that to come out. I mean, that's that. I wonder circumstances. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring it back. You brought up this point that you haven't. Have you ever had a good oyster stuffing or dressing?
Here I was sitting writing all that down, and I'm forgetting to lay it on you. Okay.
You mentioned you don't care for it, and I'm just wondering have you ever had it where it was pretty good, or
yes.
What's the deal with oyster?
Here's my approach to it, which is really different from anything else you've ever had before, and it is a killer. Okay? So here's what I do. I make oysters bienville.
oyster stuffing.
Right. But you can get an oyster stuffing or a dressing, whatever you want to call it. And what I do is that instead of jamming it into a coating on the outside, I actually make the inside from a bunch of oysters, bienville, which has some seafood in it. It has some herbs, a little bit of some of the different kinds of herbs, hard to even say. And then some oysters, but it comes down to all of the ingredients that you would put into
it's talking about a casserole. Do you make it like an oyster casserole?
That's exactly what I do. I make it into a casserole. You put it in the oven. You bake it until it's bubbling here and there. And then you take it out. The elegance of this flavor is off the charts. It's fantastically good. But it doesn't have the oysters and the bread dough and all that. It's just so boring. I mean, at Thanksgiving time, I always have that other one, and I don't tell anybody. I say, this is my Thanksgiving stuffing. Here, go for it. Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
We are
this
now.
Fantastic.
We are about to get covered by Chef Andrea.
Hey, Tom.
And here he is.
Day.
Welcome.
My lucky day.
What's your lucky day?
My lucky day is today.
Somebody
Friday,
said it's their lucky day. What?
Absolutely. Every day is my lucky day. Once I get up in the morning, I come to Andrea, I'm very happy. I'm a lucky day every day.
All
I never work
Chef
a day
Andrea.
Of my life. I never
Chef
work a
Andrea.
Day of my lifetime. And
oh,
I know
yeah?
the same thing with you. You never work a day in your life. I know that because you enjoy your work, and I know you. So you've done a lot for the city, the radio show. And
one of these days I'm going to talk you into forgetting about that.
Sardines?
No, not sardines. These are, I need the word for this. It's the... I'm not going to get there. We've been too long doing this today.
Okay.
I'll think of it in the next couple of minutes.
Okay, no problem.
Chef Andrea?
Hi.
Chef, can you hear me?
Yes, Yes, how you doing?
Chef, this is Alan. I was a waiter in your restaurant back in the 90s. And
hey, Alan, how you doing?
I don't know if you remember me, but I remember you. And I just want to say I miss you. I love you.
Same here.
I've waited tables with Santino. Santino is still there, correct?
Oh, he's still here. He's in my old fridge in the dining room.
Chef Andrea.
One of my oldest son here.
Please tell Santino that Alan says hello, please. He was my back waiter when I was working for you. And
that's wonderful.
You know, I have nothing but the best to say about you, Chef. You were...
Thank you. Well, I appreciate all your help. I appreciate all your support. And it's a wonderful profession. And I know I could have done without you. So, you know, it takes two, front and the back of the house, and professionalism, quality, consistency, and service. You did a great job. I'm very proud of you. And please come home, because anytime my home is here, you can come anytime. So So we'll love to see you, Alex. You know? Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, Tom, it's always good to hear from you. And what?
Absolutely. Yeah. Wonderful. Tom,
what's
today,
you're doing a dinner, aren't you?
We do, yeah, on Thursday night, yeah, with a wine dinner, with great wines and great food. We have a Sicilian menu going on the 19th of this month, March, in St. Joseph, to honor St. Joseph. We have artichoke, we have sardines, we have a wonderful cioppino per zuppa di pesce, because there's a lot of bountiful seafood in Sicily. And we have tuna from Sicily. We have all kinds of wonderful dishes. Pasta Milanese with fresh sardines and dust on top with a little touch of breadcrumbs and pecorino cheese. Really outstanding. People look this time of the year to have sardine time and all these wonderful things that we do. The artichoke in season, so we have the bountiful in our menu this evening. We have some, I just feel like some beautiful pompano, by the way. I know you like the pompano. I'm just feeling, like Susie came to the radio to do the show, but I'm just doing some wonderful, beautiful, fresh pompano, fresh flounder. And I caught some fresh salmon, whole salmon. As you know, all the fish got shrimped to my door because I do butchered all my fish, my meat, everything got to be fresh. Homemade pasta. But this is really wonderful thing that we have corn and crab base for the soup. You know, with the entree, you get soup and salad, you know, all the time. So with the entree, it's always wonderful. So it's really very, very great. Tonight we have in the Cabi Blue, we have a Bobby Hola. So come and join us. We'd love to have you. Yep.
And you never know what can happen. Well, all of this is at Andrea's, and he is there every day, lunch and dinner, 7 days a week, open for brunch, I think on lunch if he's got a special deal to do, and all those special things that need to be done, too, as you get into the holiday seasons, which is not all that far away. It's always something different, though. All of this is at Andrea's, and right across Causeway Boulevard from Lakeside Mall. Give him the phone number.
And Andrea, we have 834-8583. Tom, have a wonderful weekend. Alan, glad to hear your voice. Come back anytime. We'll love to see you. My homies here. Ciao, and ciao, Thomas.
Pleasure.
Give my love to everybody.
And there he goes.
Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao. Ciao. Ciao. Back right at you. Ciao. I said ciao. It's the ciao. It's the food show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. So you see, when we get, well, it's too far away from Halloween for Thanksgiving for me to give you my other concept. But later, you'll like it. It's the food show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. We're here having quite a good day. Guys, and let's see, do we have any ladies here? No ladies here today. Okay, so fellers, I would say that we had a fairly good array of food put down for the folks who have decided to spend a whole show with us, because we have, and that guy is no less than Alan Tobb.
And Chef just walked out the door there, but again, I just want to say, I had the pleasure of working as one of his waiters for a few years, and you just don't get better than Chef Andrea Puzo. Just and that cookbook, Tom, that you help him write.
I'm gonna make this really quickie because it doesn't, you know, he and I wrote that book. Actually, let me make it more category. It's all his recipes. That's it. I didn't write a single recipe for this. I did write all the words. So that's my part of it in there. And it wound up, if I say so myself, coming out to be a really surprisingly good book. And I'm sorry that I had to do that to you. But anyway, go talk to Chef Andrea about it, and he'll fix you up. He'll sign it for you. And I can find, if I can sign yours, I'll put a funny little thing on it that it might embarrass him one day. Could be good. All right. Thanks a lot for what you were about to say. So good.
When I come down to New Orleans, I have obviously after working with, he gave me his book and it's signed by him, but I totally need to have your signature by his as well. So when we meet, Tom, which hopefully won't be too
when
far.
When we meet again, we'd all see to each other. Oh, I've been told to stop. That's all right. I'm good at it. What?
Tom, let me ask you. You know, we're on the subject of oysters. And, you know, you just mentioned that you did this great oyster casserole dish that probably blows everybody's mind. They're just, I'm sure that it's a heck of a lot better than an oyster, you know, the run-of-the-mill oyster stuffing or oyster dressing that people do.
Yeah.
Not
uh-huh.
that that's bad, but I agree with you that oyster stuffings are, I don't know what it is, doesn't do the oyster, how can I say it? Doesn't present the oyster at its best in a big, you know, with all the bread. It's so heavy with the breading that it covers
up the oyster. Whenever I find one, I remember it and I get it again and again and again. Because there are some out there. Can I give you one story? Let's see if I have time for this. I don't have much time.
Go ahead.
Anyway, Keith Young, who has a restaurant on the North Shore Steakhouse.
Yeah.
And I went in there to have lunch one day. Mary Ann and I were together. We both love the place. So we go over there, and Keith said, "Would you? Can I take you off to the side? Because I want to ask you something. Just run by it. Run this by you." I said, "Sure." Good friend of mine. Sit down. And he says, "You know, I've been trying to figure out a good recipe for oysters Bienville." And I said, "You've come to the right guy. This is something I really love. And not only that, but it'll make it even better still." So I just to make a long story short, he came back after we finished lunch and he said, "What'd you think?" And I said, "That's the best oysters Bienville I've ever had." And now that's where, if you ever want to see that dish, go over there and get it. And I can't believe to this day. Huh?
What? Does he have this on the menu or do you have to ask for it?
It is on the menu now. It wasn't for a while, but it definitely is now. Last time I was there, I saw it. And I was very flattered by that. And that's that.
Tom,
wow.
There are other restaurants. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to jump in here, and I noticed that it is 4:30. I'm sorry, 4:52 is the time. My goodness, we've blown through 2 hours, or is it even more than that?
Almost.
Yeah, we've about covered
four, four, four.
Yeah. What a
ask.
Way to run a radio show. I think we ought to be proud.
Tom, there are a couple of other items that you get credit for, and I can't think of them, but there are a couple of restaurants that have your version. I think one is your version of a bread pudding. Is that correct?
Uh-huh. I love bread pudding.
And which restaurant is that sells that presents your Tom Fitzmaurice bread pudding?
Well, there are many of those, but the one I think is the very best in town is the one at Mr. B's. The one at Mr. B's is nailed down. Got it. It's terrific. Love it.
And this is your recipe.
This is I couldn't claim that because it's funny. That I remember the day I was sitting in a corner over at Mr. B's, and Chef Paul Prudhomme, who was still talking to me back then, he sat down and we were talking about it, and I said, "Well, you know, you ought to put some work on this bread pudding because I think the one at Arno's is actually better." He said, "What?" And I ran the 2 days away to Arno's, grabbed it, ran the two block radius over to get some for the Arno's and. And the one that the Mr. B's put out. Those are so. It's really Mr. B's. That's also I can't leave without saying Arno's, and
I see.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I hesitate before leaving the topic of oysters because I know we share this commonality. We both love oysters, and I think you said that oysters are your favorite food.
Number one.
Lately, you've been talking a lot about mussels, though.
I love mussels. Had mussels twice this week.
And I find that interesting because when I worked in New Orleans, lived in New Orleans, mussels weren't on the menus so much.
Mm. Yeah, isn't that funny?
But I understand the mussels, are these Louisiana mussels that are.
Probably not. If you're getting mussels, chances are they're coming from Manhattan. Not Manhattan. What am I saying? Although it does come from up in that part of the world. That's where the mussels and the scallops and the lobsters, mm-hmm. too. They all come from New England, and if I were looking for that, that's where I'd go.
So... are mussels being farmed as well? You know, oysters now, we have oyster farms.
They probably are because it seems like they're doing that to just about everything. But I don't think it's much of a factor because, to quote a chef friend of mine who I can't remember, once told me that if you can actually taste the mussels, then you're going to have to start over again or something like that. Is very, very careful about move this along.
Well, I understand because the mussels, if it's too strong, then they're not refrigerated correctly, or they probably has something to do with a timing factor. If it does taste so well. Well, before we, because I know we have just a few minutes left. I was going to ask you, Tom, the Pearl Oyster Bar.
Oh, boy, what a sad death that was.
How come the Pearl never reached fame the other oyster, the famous oyster place in the French Quarter?
That's a good question, and I've wondered it myself, but the truth is there was no other market for them, because I used to go there pretty often, and I used to go to everything else in the place when they were still in business. I used to live about two blocks away from there, and I used to eat all that stuff, all those deli meats, but also the turkeys, you know, live. You know, they would cut that stuff up right there on the spot. But it was from another era, and I don't think you'll see that very much, unless you get a gourmet type. I had mussels twice this week, strangely enough.
Were they steamed in a broth?
Steamed in a broth, that's right, and a little bit of zing to it, like a little bit of pepper, not too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My wife makes she makes a dish with mussels that's quite good. But mussels up here in the Northwest are plentiful. They're really, really good.
Oh, well, that's the place to get them then. It's not where you'd want to go for oysters that's perfect.
But the Pearl, of course, I know it closed down even while I was living there. They closed, but... they were probably, it looks like we'll continue our discussion on oysters some other time. I think we're done.
Nice spending the day with you. Everybody else who was here, thank you. That was a hoot. Thank you.
This
Good night.
Was a pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.